So, it's interesting, the message. The message is on something that is, I think it's crazy how it's affecting so many people and of so many ages. And it's, you wonder, from every socio-economic status of life, but anxiety. How many people are hit with anxiety? Come on, anybody? I've never seen the epidemic like it is. Anybody here know what I'm talking about? Come on. Okay. So is that a good topic for a message? Yeah? I'm just asking the Lord this week. I said, Lord, what is it you want me to share? Now, who's glad we're talking on that today? I see some people putting up their hand. It's good. Because I'm thinking, okay, what's going on? You know, sometimes we get these things going in, like if you're, you know, pastor, somebody who's called to give a message, and you're asking God for understanding and revelation, you're saying, Lord, what is it you wanted me to share? Especially, I'm not in a series of something. You know, sometimes I do a series. Those of you that are part of this church, sometimes I do a series of messages on a topic or several topics going together that fall in line, or a book in the Bible. But lately, I just haven't been doing that. So I'm just asking the Lord this week, are we going to start something new here? And the Lord didn't give me any liberty to do something in the way of a series. But this dropped in my spirit. So I want to turn to a verse in the Bible, if you have it. And first we'll read it in the NIV, because you all can read it to see it together. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. So you all know that verse pretty well. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Now, I know some of you may be new in your walk with God. Some of you may be new in your learning experience with God. Some of you, you know, everybody's on a journey, right? Okay. And sometimes it takes a while getting used to the, you know, what this journey is about. So when we sometimes put up the references, it helps us to see this. So this is the reference. If you don't have a Bible, you can turn to. This is the verse here that I want you to look at, and we're going to read these two verses. Maybe we can read it together. If you want to read along with me, let's read it together. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now, that's an interesting verse, and I'm going to read it to you now in another... You know, the Bible has several, we would call it English, other languages too. But in the English, there are some modern translations. Now, they don't necessarily have a different meaning altogether. They just expand on the meaning. I like reading different translations of the English. There's so many different, what we call them. So this translation that I'm going to read to you next, on the same verse, is called the Passion. Some of you heard me read from the Passion. I love the Passion. And the way it says it in the Passion. Listen to this. I don't know if you have it. We don't probably have it yet. We listen to this. Don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith filled requests before God with overflowing gratitude. Tell him every detail of your life. Well, first of all, he's not going to be surprised. If he's God, he's not going to be surprised. Then it says, if you're able to do this, to pray and to be filled with overflowing gratitude, and you tell him every detail of your life, then God's wonderful peace that transcends human understanding will make the answers known to you through Jesus Christ. So this is the beautiful thing. It's God has a way. Now, as I say, I don't know what's going on. Everybody may have, you may have an opinion why so much anxiety, why so much fear, why there is so much, you know, concern, or we call it cares, or, you know, why are we so fear-filled, especially of the future, or finances, or things we have no control over. So oftentimes our anxiety has to do with things we personally have no control over. Are you following me? Isn't that true? Yeah. It's an epidemic. It really is. When the statistics tell us, it's going crazy amongst young people and youth and even children. Like, what's going on? Now, is it possible? I'm going to just surmise a couple few things. Is it possible? Well, some people say it's technology. I don't. Maybe not. Maybe it's got something to do with the fact that the relational aspect of real connection is missing. Now, I'm going to make a suggestion here, a thought to consider. So, really, the essence of it is. Really, where does anxiety stem from? It stems from the fact that there's a lack of trust, lack of confidence, a lack of assurance, a lack of certainty. Okay, think about this for a minute. Most of us learn the idea of trust as children in a family. Would you agree? Psychologists tell us that you know the idea of to love and to belong and to trust happens at a very early age. Children learn to trust. Now, it's possible, listen to this now, is it possible because of dysfunction that exists in families that we have lost that element? So we grow up with this thing of lack of trust. And lack of feeling safe, and lack of feeling that everything's going to be okay, that you're going to be provided for. So I think there is something to be said about that, right? Now, wherever it comes from, I think that is probably one of the biggest sources. And our society, the way things are breaking down, particularly family and other things, it's difficult. It's the issue. We're set up. It's almost like there's a setup. And the truth is, there is God in relationship. There is also, in the world, there is also an enemy. You heard me talk about this many times. And I believe the enemy is the devil, or Satan, or whatever you want to call it. And the Bible does say that the thief, it is a description in the Bible, it's the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. John chapter 10, verse 10, it says in the Bible, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. His attempts, his attacks on our lives and on the life of our family and the life of our children, and is to basically destroy a generation. Let's destroy a people. Let's destroy a household. Let's destroy whatever it is. He's going to steal, kill, and destroy. But that next part of that verse says, Jesus says, I have come that you might have life, and life to the fullest, life abundant. So Jesus' desire is that he's going to, you know, bring something different, which is a life full of, well, I would use the word peace. There's another verse in the Bible that goes like this. Jesus says, in this world, you're going to have trouble. Okay, do you know anybody in the world that doesn't have trouble? Is there anybody in the world that doesn't have trouble? Life itself, in a world that's troubled, and really I want you to think about this, in a world that is broken. Now, I'm not trying to be a gloomy doom type of person, but the fact is, many of us, because none of us have had perfect parenting. Come on, I don't care who you are, you know. We don't live in a perfect world. Maybe you had issues with a teacher or somebody at work, or you know, where conflict existed. So there's just difficult in this world. You're going to have trouble. There's going to be difficulty. There's going to be cause for anxiety and fear and mistrust. There's going to be all of that. That's life. But I love the next part of that verse. Jesus says, this is John 14, and it says, in this world there'll be trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Matthew 11. Verse 28, Jesus says this. Do you remember Matthew 11, 28? He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened down, and I will give you rest. God's intention, Jesus' intention, is that we would be able to draw on him. Now, if everything around us, you know, whether it's fear of the future, fear of finances, fear of the unknown, uncertainty, and even, you know, just whatever decisions and plans you're making in life is causing anxiety right now, there's something of an element of distrust. Something of an element of you just, you know, that you're lacking ability to be able to say, I'm okay. That I'm going to be safe. I'm going to be protected. I'm going to be provided for. He's got me. He's got my back. You know, he has to be covered. I love this story in the Bible. It's really interesting because I think it really depicts what we're talking about. You know, Jesus says to his disciples, he says, listen, we're going to go across the lake to the other side. You know, Jesus has followers and they were following him. And he says, let's go to the other side and we're going to go do ministry there. Basically, just give you a little summary. And as they're going across the lake, a storm rises up, right? Now, I want you to think of this. Jesus has already proven himself to the followers, to disciples. He's proven himself by miracles. He actually has just finished, according to the references in that passage, he's actually just finished feeding the 5,000 with a miraculous provision. Now, if you know that story, he took the loaves and the fishes of a little boy and turned it into a feast. I was going to say a buffet or whatever. You know, it's just like basically all-you-can-eat buffet because there was 12 baskets left over. Now, these disciples have seen other miracles too. They're not just this. They've seen people healed. All right, Jesus says, let's go to the other side. We're going to do ministry there. And in the midst of their travels, a storm comes out on the water. This storm on the water is raising the sea to the point where the disciples are saying, he's sleeping in the boat. We're going to perish. Doesn't he care? We're going to die. Jesus is asleep in the boat, and they're concerned, but they forgot the message or the word. They forgot the fact who was in the boat. They forgot the fact that he said, we're going to go to the other side. So in other words, we're on this journey, we're going to get there. Okay, we're going to be okay. So it's like this. There's already a connection made with Jesus, but they all of a sudden forgot what that connection was and who he is, and a revelation of peace that he wanted to give them just didn't, you know, they didn't get it. So anyways, they wake him up. You know how the story goes. They wake Jesus up and Jesus says, what are you guys all worried about? Looks at the storm and look at the wind, look at the turbulence, and he just walks out and he says to the ocean, peace, be still. Everything calm. Because Jesus has it handled anyways. Now, they could have made it through the storm. He just wanted to demonstrate his ability over nature. Calm their fears. He's got it. So I want you to think of this. When we're talking about this, we know that there are reasons why people have this sense of anxiety. And some of those reasons, you know, may not always be obvious. And sometimes when people are in such a state of lack of trust and a lack of feeling of safety, security, provision, protection, you know, I can come up to that person and say, hey, you just need to trust more. You can tell, you know, if I said that to you, you probably say, well, you're right. And you probably agree with me. And you could very easily say, I'm going to trust more. And you know what? With your mind, you can make the decision to trust more, but your heart might still be afraid.
What's that look like, Lord?
And be anxious. Isn't that true? How many of you know what I'm saying? You know, you can agree with somebody with good advice and a good suggestion and probably truth that they're speaking to you, but you're still having this sense of fear, sense of anxiety. Isn't that what we're talking about here today? That's what we're talking about. We're talking about this place that's deep inside. So the Lord says in Philippians chapter 4, there is a place oftentimes that we need God to be able to get to. And oftentimes that place of lack of trust and fear-filled anxiety and, you know, concern, undue concern that you have about life and about future, that is coming from someplace, and you got to come to the Lord. And I love this expression because it's been, you know, we're going to amplify it a little bit here, but in back in Philippians chapter 4. So it disappeared on me. Here it is. Philippians 4, these verses we were looking at. Verse 6. Okay. Oh, great. Go back to verse. Can you put that back up, Philippians 4? And go to 5. And then just put 5, 6, 7. Okay, I want you to think of this. If I knew in my heart that somebody is watching over me and caring for me and protecting me and providing for me and knows, and if I knew that somebody, think about this, who was all-powerful, all-knowing, and be in every situation at all time. That's God. People have used these words. God's omnipotent, all-powerful. Omniscience, all-knowing. Omnipresent, everywhere present, all the time. That's, you know, you heard the expressions. If I knew that this person was with me all the time and for me, and I knew it in my heart, wouldn't that make a difference? Is that true? That's the place we need to get to, but it's not always easy. So actually, when you look at this passage in Philippians 4, it actually starts with that phrase. Okay, I said for him to go to verse 5, okay? Just have a look at that verse 5. Skip the first part, because you know when the Bible was written, they didn't have verses, meaning numbers. If you didn't know that, now you know. These were letters. Who's going to put numbers in letters? If I write to you a letter, would I put numbers on the verse? No. Later, for the help of reference and for the help of being able to get to a section quickly, right? Those who... what would you call it? What's the word I'm looking for? yeah, translated it, or those who, you know, put it together for, yeah, formatted, that's probably a good word, thank you. They put the verses in. Okay, let's say there's no verse between 5 and 6, all right? And let's say the division is here. I want you to look at this. The division is, forget the first part. Forget that part, let your gentleness be evident to all. I mean, don't forget it altogether. Just forget it for a moment. Okay, let's start this verse this way. The Lord is near you. Think about it now. Will that make a difference? The Lord is near you. The Lord is near you. Do not be anxious about anything. The Lord is near you. Do not be anxious about anything. The Lord is near you. Now, my heart needs to know that. Not just my mind. My heart needs to know that. So, in order for my heart to know that, there's a process. And what often keeps us shut and shut up and shut down and full of anxiety and fear is we don't know in our heart that God is for me. Because life circumstances have dealt me some blows. And there's been affliction, there's been pain, there's been frustration, there's been disappointments. There's been abuse at times. There's been situations that have happened in life that I'm going to ask the question. And really deep down inside my heart, it's like, God, where were you? Anybody ever have that question? If there is God, can you ask that question? Where were you? Or where are you now? If you're going through a hard time. Now, the hard thing is, it's the heart doesn't get the fact that the Lord is near. Because he wasn't seemingly, he wasn't near then. Now, here's what happens, guys. The machinery in life takes place. Life takes place. We're not exempt from trouble or difficulty. Jesus or God isn't the author of trouble, is he? He's not the author of pain or causing hurt. And this is not God. There is an enemy. Remember that. There's an enemy who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, God, yeah, there is a place where God enters in. There is a place we can allow God to enter in. So, we go into this passage in Philippians 4, and we're going to continue on and looking at that passage then. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Now, as I read that in the translation that I shared with you earlier, I want you to get a hold of this for a minute. Listen to this. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faithful requests before God with overflowing gratitude. Let him tell him every detail of your life. You know, one of the reasons we have difficulty is we don't feel that we can tell God everything. We think somehow he is aloof, or he's too busy. I've heard people say God's too busy with other big concerns. Why would he be concerned about my little concern? It's so small. Well, I need to feel that I'm important to God. And God's made it possible for me to come to him personally with every request. And not only every request, but every detail of my life. Now I'm going to encourage you, we can't do all this morning, in this few minutes that we have together. I'm going to encourage you, if you have undue anxiety, in your life about stuff that's going on or future or concerns that you have, and you're just saying, this is too much. I'm going to encourage you to seek out somebody who can lead you in a prayer ministry, prayer counseling, somebody who can allow you to go to the place where you need to go to let Jesus come in, be all that he wants to be. Do you know that's possible? We've seen it happen. We've seen the Lord. But oftentimes, it's that place of allowing God to open you up to a place where you can at least walk there. You can at least get there. If I knew in my heart that the Lord is near, then no fear, no anxiety, no worry would affect my life. But my heart doesn't feel it. And if my heart's not feeling it, there's something I got to get, you know, I have to let the Lord get to that place where in my heart I can be confident that God's going to take care of this. But the reality is God is near. The reality is that Jesus died, gave his life for me, and it says in Romans that if he gave his own son for me, how will he not freely give me all things? The reality is in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, don't be anxious about what you will eat, what you will drink, and what you will wear. Don't you know your Father in heaven will take care of your needs? And why are you running around chasing after these things? If he can take care of the birds of the air, if he can take care of the plants of the field, will you not? Don't you know he'll take care of you? Remember that passage? So Jesus is able to take care of our needs. Father is able to take care of our needs. And we know the verses, but there's something still in my heart. Anybody connecting with what I'm saying here? Okay. So there is a place where we need to let Jesus come, and I believe it is a place of openness. I believe it is a place of, now, do you need somebody to help you with that process? I don't think you always need somebody. If you're, by the grace of God, if you're able to go in the presence of God, let him do what he wants to do, and to, you know, heal your heart that's broken and hurt, great. But oftentimes, God uses other people. Those of you know who've had healing in your heart and have gone to, had ministry in your prayer ministry, particularly where we go to the Lord, God does amazing things. Okay, who brings healing anyways? Who brings restoration? Who? Come on, Jesus. It's God who brings healing and wholeness and restoration. So when we go back to this verse, so I want you to, there is a process. I think the process here is there is a place of coming to that place of opening up your heart and opening up your needs to God. But there's other parts of that process. It says here, do not be anxious about anything. Okay. Basically what this is like saying to you, hey, you don't need to be anxious. You can by prayer. Now, the word prayer is kind of maybe a general term for prayer. Petition is being specific, giving him details, telling him everything about your life. It's like, God, this is the request. It's very particular. It's very personal. It's focused. This is the petition. This is my heart. This is my heart's cry to you, God. So we come to God, and I'm going to refer again to the Passion. It says here, be saturated in prayer. Okay. What is prayer actually doing? When we pray, what is it? Okay. By and large, why do we pray? Why do you pray? Give me some answers. Why would you pray? Don't give me any religious answers. I don't want any religious answers. Why do we pray? Why do you pray? No. Okay, now I want to know, though, why do you pray? Yes, that's true. Okay, because you're in need. Or somebody's in need. Is that true? We're primarily praying because isn't that true? So by and large, what we're saying is we're acknowledging a need. That's the key. The key is there's a place And there's not only acknowledging need, you're acknowledging a need to a higher power who think can help you, who can come to your aid. Right? Okay. So if there's anxiety, and what often happens in the case of anxiety, my mind goes everywhere. It's racing. Are you following? It's like, and you know what it's trying to do? Get the answers. Right? Hey, come on now. Am I talking to somebody here today? Yeah, it's like figuring out. How many of you have ever had anxiety over what others might be thinking of you, or others might have thought of you, or, you know, or just something about, or, you know, in terms of, yeah, or others might be thinking, and you got all this stuff going on thinking what they might be thinking. You have no idea. Are you following what I'm getting at here? And then we get anxious, right? About a meeting. You're going to have a meeting with somebody. You're wondering, what's that going to look like? You've already got it figured out, right, in your mind. Oh, and these questions are going to your mind. Now, I want you to think of this. Let's use this example. Use this principle in that example. Okay, I have a meeting coming up with somebody, and it's a very important meeting, and I'm trying to think of all the answers. All right, or what are they going to think, or all of that stuff. Now, let's say if I wasn't to be anxious, but I was to take this principle, it says don't be anxious, but in everything with prayer and petition, take this request to God, with thanksgiving, bring this request to God, and something that God says is going to happen. The peace that passes understanding, the peace that's beyond human ability to comprehend, is going to fill your heart and mind. Because I don't have to worry about that. I look at the fact that the Lord is near me. Are you with me? Remember, I look at the fact that the Lord is near me. I look at the fact that the Lord is for me. I look at the fact that I am walking in His presence. He's walking in me. I am in Him. Now you're going to say, you know all of that. You know, theoretically, some of you know that. But in a sense, knowing in my heart that, hey, I can trust God. I can believe that I can, you know. So prayer is a part that is important because it shows your dependence and my dependence on God, no matter how weak and vulnerable I feel. Because it's got nothing, it does have something to do with feelings, but it's not really got much to do with feelings. I love this because prayer launches out in faith. Yeah, true. Prayer is launching out in faith. So there is a place where I got to say, okay, God, you're for me. You are going with me. I'm going to this meeting. And I'm going to this encounter. Man, I don't like going to meetings that are confrontational. Anybody else agree with me? Who likes those kind of meetings? But there's times there has to be. And the last thing I want is confrontation. You ask my wife. I run from it if I can help it. But if I'm going with that sense, God, you're with me, you're for me, and not just for me, but you're for the situation, because I don't want necessarily that He takes my side, right? I just want I want peace. I'm looking for peace. I don't want anxiety. I don't want fear. But depending on God in that moment is really important. There's so many great examples of this in the Bible. You know, back in the Old Testament days, it was a nation, you know, of Israel. And basically, the interesting story of the Old Testament, don't get too caught up with, you know, with all the, sometimes we look at the story and say, how can that be? And, you know, they are fighting and all that stuff. But there were wars. There were battles and there was all kinds of crazy stuff going on. But basically, there was a time when God, the people of Judah, they were in a battle situation. Well, put it this way. They were living at somewhat peace. Other armies were coming against against Judah. It happened several times. But in this one case, the king, Jehoshaphat, recognizes that this is t- too much of a deal. It would cause fear. It would cause anxiety. Five armies, which would be probably, I don't know how many more men or people that he had in his own army, but it was like crazy amount of more people, and it was they were going to be trounced. They're going to be destroyed. But it says he cried out to God. Now, David, before he went to battle, if you look at the accounts in the Bible about David, many times before he went into battle, he called out to the Lord. How many of you know? He asked God. Okay, how many know also there was time that David did call on God? And you know what happened? He got trounced. Read it. And he recognized it. Oh, Lord, forgive me for not calling out on you. Now, why am I saying all that? I'm saying all that because prayer is a place of recognizing our need for Him. When we don't pray, what are we saying? Now, I'm just suggesting this. I think it's some validity to this. When you don't pray, you're saying, I don't need help of God, anyways, that I can handle it. Whatever, yeah, the source may very well be pride or maybe ignorance or whatever it is, but there's something going on that just shows. So then you're on your own. But there is a place when you trust God, there is a place when you pray, you say, God, I acknowledge you. I need your help. I need you, God, in this situation. I'm entering into this. Hey, you and I need to decide if we want God personally to be on my, you know, on our sides. We want to acknowledge God. We want to recognize He's near me. He's with me. He's for me. I can trust Him, even in a small measure, whatever measure that might be. I can exercise my faith here. I'm amazed how merciful God is. Because even when I don't think I have a lot of faith, a lot of trust, and I just call out to Him and cry out to Him, He's merciful. Joel and I were doing a little project yesterday. I asked Joel to help me, so Rachel and, you know, my daughter Rachel and Doug, we have grandson Isaiah. And so I bought a swing set because Isaiah, they moved and the place they lived had a swing set. Isaiah wanted another swing set and he was missing it so much. So we went on Kijiji. We actually found one with the help of Joel. We got that and we put it together in the backyard. And while we were putting the swing set together, a lady next door to where they live, Doug and Rachel, she came over to me. She looked at me. She said, can you? And I pointed to the backyard. She's Chinese, and she was speaking about her. She had bought a brand new swing set for their kids, and it had got blown down by the hurricane. I mean, literally, right? So this lady comes up to me and asks, can you do that? I said, yeah, I probably can, but it could be a few days. And we got around to doing it yesterday. So Joel and I went out to get the swing set. To give it a go. We were getting along not bad. I went and got all the parts. I mean, there was broken pieces of wood and everything. I went and got all the parts. And it was one of those days, you know, you just, oh dear. It was just, in some ways I wanted to do it. In other ways, you know, I was asking myself, why did I get myself into this anyways? I'm just being honest with you guys, okay? Right? But I'm there. And we got started with the project. Okay, we're carrying on. I got everything, and I put the first piece, the most important piece was broken. Would be, you know, the thing that would, what do you call that? It's like an anchor piece. You know, it's one of those pieces that are framed. It's like part of the frame. Okay, it has to be a good piece. It's 2-inch thick. It's really, anyways, I put it in, put the bolts through, and we were getting ready to attach the other parts to it, And I realized that I put it in backwards. When I put the bolts through the top, the actual bolts, and I don't know where the thing is made, but it's not normal. It doesn't take screws or it doesn't take nuts and bolts. It takes a torque. Now, some of you are wondering, what in the world is he talking about? Okay, a torque is like a star-shaped thing, so it's a different kind of a tool you need to put to take. And for some reason, I had my tools, and I was taking this thing apart, and I put this piece in, tightened these pieces, and all of a sudden, it went too much, and I threaded the torque. You know what I mean? I stripped it, stripped the head on it. And then I realized I got to take it apart. Okay. Now you got to picture this. Joel is looking at me and saying, how in the world is Pastor going to figure this one out? We tried everything, didn't we, Joel? Joel's like, yo, shaking his head and saying, how are we going to do this? Anyway, somehow, I mean, I did. I cried out to God, didn't I? You're saying, really? You cried out to God for this? You probably wondered. A little example of a little thing calling out to God. Let me tell you, God came through even though it was my mistake. God is merciful, gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, quick in forgiveness. You're going to say, well, it's not a big deal. But I did call out to God. And let me tell you something. I don't know why. I just thought of something, and it just came to my mind. I took a drill, and I screwed right through that the part that it goes in, and it came apart. You know what I mean? A drill bit. Drilled it through with a metal drill bit, and it came apart. And I said, thank you, Jesus. I did. Joel can tell. I said, thank you, Jesus. This is amazing. Now, what's the easy fix? Because I just put a nut and a bolt where that, it wasn't a complicated fix in terms of afterwards. I got the thing off and I turned it around, put it the right way. It worked. Amen. But that's what I'm saying. So whatever mistakes we might make, whatever places we've gone to, and our life still filled with anxiety and are concerned, I'm just saying, cry out to God. Prayer is just a simple crying out to God. Prayer is very simply saying, God, I need you. That's such a good example of that. He'll come through. He'll come through in the best way possible. Here's the thing about it. I don't know my life all that well. I mean, I know it, but I don't know the future all that well. I don't know. So you don't know everything about your life. But there's a good word that tells me that he knows the beginning and the end. He is the beginning and the end. And that he's working all things together for good because I love him. Called according to his purpose. And he's working on it. Okay, I like God working on it on my time. Whatever I'm praying for, I like it to be on my time. God, it would be good to have the answer now. This is important. You show up, this is the need, come on, do it. And the Lord is working on it. And he's working on it because he's also developing something here. Character. Quality. More relational equity with him. More, not only character in me, more of a revelation of what he's like. Changing my perception of things that I haven't quite got yet, because God wants to show up. Let me tell you something. If God is working it together for good, and I trust him, then I better ask the question, what's he doing in me? To develop me. Because he's got it handled. He's going to take care of that. What happens is, now this is, you might sound, it might sound mean, it's not really, but I think it's true. When I demand God to come through on my time, then I'm playing God. When I demand God to come through on the way I would want it to be, then I'm playing God. He's God, I'm not. Oh, no wonder I have anxiety. Think about it. Because I'm frustrated it's not happening the way I like to see it happen. When he may be doing something altogether better. It always is. It's always good. It's always better. In that same book, Philippians, if I understood, you know, that God is already just at work, and there's another verse, Philippians 1:6. It says, he who starts a good work in you will bring it to completion. So if I had that understanding going that God's already bringing it to completion, I'd be okay, you know, I could walk in it and just follow it through. He's bringing it to completion. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches. If I knew my God was rich and he's able to provide, I could walk, I could live, I could just carry on. Because my thing is, how am I going to provide? How am I going to take care of my future? Well, have we thought about talking to him about it? Get his perspective. So Lord, I just pray right now, as we shift gears here, I just want to pray for you right now. In Jesus' name, I pray that God would give us a revelation of how good he is, how great he is, how mighty he is, how close he is. And if you need in your life, you know, to have your heart healed up, if you need a place where you're still struggling with areas, I pray that, you know, you come and talk to us. We could help you, as, you know, Shelley and I are pastors here, as well as we can, refer you to other people that could lead you in a prayer ministry. We believe that God is able to have us walk in a place of faith and trust and confidence. Let me just say this. I'm going to stop in my prayer. God has us all on a journey. I don't look down on you. I'm just in a different place in my life, in my journey. We got to encourage one another to come along. Yeah, there's so much more I can say, but I'm just going to just close out with this. What God promises is peace that passes understanding. You know what that means? It's a supernatural peace. It's a peace that is beyond human understanding. His word is, listen, it's like everybody around you could be, you know, maybe others are going through the same thing, or people look at, you know, there's something that is from God that is, kind of way beyond you, and everybody's looking at you saying, where did I get that peace from? Where did that come from? If they were going through this kind of hell on earth, they would cave. They would be destroyed. But there's something supernatural. That comes from knowing that God is near you, that God is for you, that God's got you covered, that God's got that situation covered, God's got your children covered, God's got your finances covered, whatever your concerns, God has it covered. And a peace that passes understanding is a supernatural deposit from God. But it's an exchange for my crying out to him. It's an exchange of my dependence on him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Great, great scripture. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding, because that's when I get in trouble oftentimes. In all my ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. He will direct your path. So, that's my prayer for you today, that our hearts and our minds will be turning to the Lord, and his peace will fill your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. Come on. Holy Spirit, I thank you. This is your desire. Your desire is to fill our hearts and mind with peace, supernatural peace. Jesus offers us a gift today. Jesus offers you a gift today, the gift of peace. There's a verse in Peter, it says, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Cares are anxieties and worries and concerns. Is it anything in your life today? Can you just say, Jesus, I'm going to offer you my cares because you care for me. He does. Can you offer to Jesus my concerns, my fears? Because I'll tell you guys, we all have different elements and different measures of fears and concerns. Let this be a day of exchange today. I pray that you'd be able to see Jesus for you today. And when it comes to dealing with stuff that God wants to bring up in your life that need to be dealt with, I'm asking you, go for prayer. Because in prayer, go with prayer and go for prayer. I thank you, God, for healing, wholeness. Jesus came to set me free.